the preliminary worship of our service tonight. And I would truly agree, Chris, God is present. And ladies, the song about a revival. You know, revival is a kinship to leadership. And leadership is inspiring others and leading others to do more than they would do by themselves without you. And I say that's kind of the edge of a revival, to inspire others to grow closer to God, and a revival to push us further than we would go otherwise, and to do so on an ongoing basis. And I'm just thrilled, and I'm honored to be here. And I just again, if you can pass on to Brother Joe, what a real honor it is for me, and again to be blessed by you, and church. And maybe you know, and maybe you can tell, but I just want to say, from an outsider looking in, you're truly blessed, and especially, ladies, just looking you here. Growing up, your young ladies, I can tell and I know that your desires that your young ladies would be pure and they would be able to present themselves before the Lord, especially in their marriage. And I just want to cheer you on. Continue to do that. And don't be ashamed to do that. God says that we're changed by preaching, and that's true. But preaching leads us to take action and to make decisions. And again, this church has been here. There's a great heritage here. I know it's not ready to end here. I know that. And I just want to just say that to you. Being at this point, I was preaching in many chapel services for the young, for our students throughout the Tampa Bay area. I've been privileged to do that and to visit many churches. And I just say this, not because I'm behind the pulpit and I want to see you smile, but I just want to say it truly, that there's a spirit here, and I know it's genuine, I know it's real. And I just want to thank God for you, because what you do here spreads throughout our city. And just, I pray you're not afraid of that, you're not ashamed of that, and you'll keep going with all humility in the Lord. If you will, let's turn to 2 Kings. And we'll be looking at 2 Kings chapter 20. I would challenge you, maybe to title this, I challenge you to dare to do the impossible. To dare to do the impossible. I would also add that it's real thrill to see our young people involved in athletics. And I know Miss Shelton here beat us up on the basketball court and those types of things. You'd be ashamed of yourself. And I guess it's wonderful. And my daughters and sons all play. And again, my oldest daughter, you saw her, she's here. And again, I have one son that's on the road headed home. He was headed to Iraq, and they mobilized in at Camp Shelby, Mississippi, and he ended up with an infection that came from the clinic there at Camp Shelby, and now he has three holes in his stomach, and it didn't come from the enemy, it came from our side, and it put him in pretty bad condition, and he's headed back home for 3 weeks or 4 weeks to convalescent. I pray he'll be able to join back up with his unit. But what I want to say is that what all that our young people do is they don't play ball in heaven, and they don't play football in heaven, but they sing in heaven. They play instruments in heaven. And what we do here will last for all eternity. And again, keep it up. As much as I enjoy seeing our kids play ball, I enjoy this more. And you're talking from one who, again, was a first-team All-American in football. I throw that away any day for what we do here on a regular basis. This is, I think, is a very sweet commentary looking at the life of Hezekiah. a very sweet commentary, because I believe Hezekiah is a very sweet man. I believe he's a man from inside out. I believe he'll do the work that God's called him to do, but I believe Hezekiah has a tender heart for the Lord. But Hezekiah's father was Ahaz. And if you want to turn there, but I'll keep rolling. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 3, it says, "But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed burnt incense in high places and on hills and under every green tree." Parents, what I want to say tonight, single adults, I want to say tonight, young people, I want you to hear me tonight. If there's no one here tonight with an excuse saying, you should know how I was raised. You should know the home that I was raised in. You should know my parents. You should know the trials I went through. And you know what? My heart will be sympathetic to those things. And I think they are real. But listen, that is no excuse not to follow the Lord God and walk according to his word. Hezekiah, listen to this. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5, it says, "He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." Hezekiah grew up in a home whereby his father was an example of an abomination, as God would define it. And yet Hezekiah has this commentary written about him from God on high. The word says that he trusted in the Lord, and there was none like him amongst all the kings that were before him and all the kings that were after him. Beloved, tonight, there are no excuses. And the word of God, I will say, looking at Hezekiah's life, will show us how we can do the impossible. Do the impossible through the grace of God. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Wow. I mean, here's a situation where someone says, I heard from God, and I know I did. Well, if you heard from Isaiah, and Isaiah said, the Lord said, I believe you've heard from God. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, you're going to die. I'd have to say that's kind of it. If Isaiah was to say to you, God called me, and God told me to say this to you. Now, there are people out there that says, and many churches and so-called spiritual people will come up to you and say, God told me to tell you this. Well, I'm going to tell you, if I didn't hear it from God directly, you can say all you want, but I need to hear it myself. That's kind of a warning to us all, for those people to come up and say, well, God told me to tell you this. Well, I was in prayer this morning, and I read my Bible, and I'm pretty filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and I didn't hear it. Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't follow that person. But this morning, or this evening, if Isaiah, and it was Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, I'd have to say, God said it. And here comes Isaiah to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. But watch what Hezekiah does as a result of that. He said, then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Tonight, again, just kind of a reminder where I'm headed. Here's the subject. I dare you to do the impossible. This is a dare. Here's Hezekiah. Hezekiah has been told he's going to die. But you know something, just almost like that lady from that Syrophoenician woman. Here we go with Hezekiah. And there are many, many others, beloved, in the Bible that just have an understanding of God's heart. You know what? You know what God, you know, and I hope you understand what I'm getting ready to say. You know, God has a weakness. And I hope we'll place this properly in the context of this scripture. God has a weakness. His weakness is you. And God has a weakness. Beloved, it's you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, beloved, he died for us. He wouldn't die for us if he didn't love us. Amen. Beloved, you're the weakness. There are some in scripture and there are some that possibly walk before us that understand the very nature, the very character of God. God has a love for you and I, beloved, that transcends our understanding. Hezekiah dared to do the impossible. What was that? He went to the Lord based upon his great devotion to God, his desire to serve God with all of his heart and his soul and his mind and his strength. He went to God with a record that, God, I love you. God, my whole purpose on earth is to be an ambassador for you, to serve you. Lord, that you may get all that you can out of my life. And Lord, here I bring it to you. Beloved, God has a weakness. And watch this weakness from Hezekiah. Hezekiah turned his face to God. And listen what he's saying here tonight. And we know the story. God gave Hezekiah 15 more years. But it's the context of those 15 years that I want you to see tonight. Hezekiah wanted 15 more years to serve God and give his life to God. As we have said this morning through a number of things that have been read and preached, listen here, he can't praise God in the grave. God, give me 15 more years to call out your name, to show forth your praise before all the world. Beloved, that's what he wanted to do. He didn't want 15 more years so he can be with his grandchildren. He didn't want 15 more years, beloved, so he can go on vacation, so he can enjoy his wife. Beloved, he wanted 15 more years so God could use him for the glory of God. Beloved, that's what he wanted. And look how he phrases this here. He says, Lord, look, I have walked before thee in truth. And I'm sure he could lay it out. He says, God, my daddy put up all these altars unto Baal and Moloch. He defied the temple of the Almighty God. He says, God, I tore down all of those idols. I brought back worship to your name. I honored the word of God. And Lord, I've walked the way of the scriptures. And beloved, we would go through all the scriptures as if we were looking in Chronicles and in Kings. The story is quite clear on how he did all these things for the glory of God. It said here also that not only did he walk, beloved, in truth, but he walked with a perfect heart. I like to illustrate that with the story of Ahaz, just to talk about it, how Ahaz stood before the Lord and he cried out when the armies of the Ethiopians came toward him and so much power and might with twice as many soldiers that he had and he had chariots which would represent armored vehicles for us today. And he cried out to God and said, God, I know that, Lord, you can win with a few or with many. Ahaz trusted in the Lord. And then all of a sudden, Ahaz, with all that he did on that occasion, then Israel came before him and wanted to block off and put a shield up so that no one could come into Judah and no one could go out. And for whatever reason, Ahaz called upon the Assyrians to help him. And God didn't like that. Lord, we're talking about someone having a perfect heart. desiring to do God's will and doing it God's way. Ahaz is a good king, but here this king turned away from God and called upon that which was not of God. And God chastised Ahaz. You know what he did? He killed him. He put him to sleep. That's what he did. He's a good king. He died a good king. But beloved, here's what we're talking about. Hezekiah kept focused with God. He didn't turn from God. And he said, God, look, I have walked in truth. And Lord, I have walked with a perfect heart. But that's not all. Beloved, it said that at the end of his prayer, he said he wept sore. And scripture we'll see often, and not to go through so many scriptures, but the men and women of God, when they wanted God to answer prayer, when they wanted God to rain down his presence and his power from on high, we see in scripture, the Bible said, they cried out. Beloved, they showed from the depths of their heart that God, you're the only way. God, if you're not going to do it, it will not be done. Lord, I'll stand here until I die, but I will not be moved. I'm calling upon you and you only. I'll perish before I go someplace else. And all the time, they're always praying in God's will. Hezekiah here believes he has every right to pray. Why? Because he's calling upon our God of all the universe. And he will always open a door to his children. His children that will walk upright. His children will walk according to the word of God. He will always have his door open, beloved. Amen. Beloved, tonight, I want to dare us to serve and to worship a true and living God that's alive today. A God that wants to show himself through our lives, that not only is he loving, he's merciful, he's just, he's righteous, he's majestic. Lord, he's our God. Beloved, it's through our lives that people will see and understand the God that we serve. And then Hezekiah, he was given that which he asked for, 15 years. But you know, the truth of the matter is, not all of us have walked in such a righteous way. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles, if you will. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. You know, we always want to be able to be on that first team. We want to line up with the Lord. Now again, we believe in the scripture and oftentimes you know, in our earlier years, we fall aside, we fall back, and sometimes we disqualify ourselves in the order of worship. It could be through the voice. It could be through certain things. But, beloved, God never takes anybody and throws them away. God will always use the children. God is a God of second chances. Beloved, let's don't look at positions. Let's don't look at titles. Let's just look to the Lord and say, oh, God, can you use me? And the answer is yes. And it would always be yes to those who will repent sorrowfully before God and say, God, can you use me? And God will always say yes. Beloved, it's not about a position. Beloved, it's about being in the family of God and wanting to do the work of God. That doesn't take a title. That doesn't take a position. Beloved, that takes commitment. God says, deny thyself, pick up the cross, and follow him. Here in chapter 33 of 2 Chronicles, we have another king that follows behind Hezekiah. It says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And again, if I think I've got the record straight, Brother Chris, maybe you can help me here, but he reigned longer than any king in all of Judah, Manasseh. And why is that significant? Because if we continue to read further, it said, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Did you hear that? He reigned longer than anyone. But while here, Hezekiah has the commentary of being that king, which was no king before him or after him, we have now a son that is the worst of all. He committed more abominations than anyone. Oh, by the way, he followed the act of his grandfather. He sent his kids through the fire. Beloved, he desecrated the altar and the temple of God. If you can name the evil, Manasseh did it. There's no one so worse than he. And it came a time in verse 11, wherefore God brought up them, the captains of the hosts of the kings of the Assyrians, which took Manasseh among the thrones and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord. Beloved, he saw this now. He saw that his days also were numbered. Now, his days are numbered. This is a king of great evil. He's been captured. He's been taken away by the enemy. And I have to tell you, he's not in one of our prisons, one of our jails, where he's going to get a clean press uniform often and be able to watch the Super Bowl when it comes. He's not going to be able to get a GED and a PhD behind bars. He's in a dungeon. He's there, and probably they're just picking on him, teasing him beyond measure. And I would say torture is probably in Babylon. In fact, it still is in Babylon. And Manasseh was feeling all of this. In the midst of all of this, please read what Manasseh did. It says, Manasseh, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And I think that's significant. Manasseh knew the God of his fathers. He has seen and he has heard how Jehovah has come to the rescue of Israel time and time again. And he knew how that occurred. It occurred when they got their hearts right. It occurred when they were in sackcloth and ashes. It occurred when they called upon the name of the God until he came. He says here, and he prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and he heard his supplications. When it says he entreated of him, there is a sense not only of the calling, but how he was standing, his demeanor, his deportment in praying. In essence, what the scripture is telling us, Manasseh was praying, even though Manasseh deserved whatever God was going to send his way. Manasseh is saying, God, I'm going to call upon your name until I die. What right would Manasseh have to do that? Well, in the context of the background of the nation of Israel, he had every right. Why? Because he was considered a child of God. Beloved, each of you who is born again, despite where you've been, despite what you've done, our God will always hear the cry of a repentant heart. He will always hear it. He will hear you. He will hear me. Whenever there's a repentant heart. Now watch this. And a person who has a desire to do the work of the Lord. Beloved, not someone who wants to get back on their feet so they can go back doing their selfish things, things that have no eternal value, but things that only benefit themselves. It may appear that it's all of God, but in the heart, we know it's for the individual. God knows the heart, and God will not be mocked. But beloved, if we have a desire to do the work of the Lord, God will hear the prayer of that repentant heart. Amen. Let's look at verse 15, please. And he took away the strange god and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and all the altars that he had built in the mount of the house of the Lord and in Israel, and cast them out of the city. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people did sacrifice still in the high places, yet unto the Lord their God only. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer unto his God, and the words of the seers that spake unto him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. His prayer also, and how God was entreated of him, and all his sins and his trespasses, and the places wherein he built high places and set up groves and graven images before he was humbled. Behold, they are all written among the sayings of the seers. Here's what Manasseh's final commentary says. When Manasseh entreated God there in prison, Manasseh was saying, God, oh God, give me a second chance. God, give me an opportunity, please, to be able to clear out those altars, God, and be able to raise the name of the God Jehovah of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh God, give me that chance. God, give me that chance to go before the people and walk upright and to walk according to your word and to show forth your glory, to show forth your holiness, to show forth your righteousness. Oh God, give me that opportunity, please, before I die. But how do we know it's real? Because we're looking now at history. When God sent him back to Jerusalem, he did just that. You say, well, how did God know he was going to do that? Well, he's God. He knows our hearts. And he blessed him. Why? Because he saw in his heart he had a determination not just to get right because he was caught. He had a determination to do right because he saw the righteous God for the very first time. You know, a nice little scripture we have in Proverbs that says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he shall not depart. We see it right there. He was raised in the house of Hezekiah. He knew how to do right. He knew what was right. But parents, hear this. Do what's right. Don't let the pouting of children sway you, cause you to do what you know you really don't want to do. Don't let their aggravations around you change the decisions that you made for them even before they were born. Beloved, stay focused. Train up our children. Fight those battles. Get on our knees and pray and ask God to give us strength to know best for our kids and do what's best for them. Here's a perfect example of a father who trained his son right. And in the end, beloved, though he made many mistakes, though he caused many to die, though he brought Israel into sin, but beloved, in the end, he got it right. And oh, by the way, God said, yes, he got it right. Amen. Beloved, we serve a God that's unlike any God ever told or defined by men of all ages. We have no need to step back from this world. We have no need to hide from those who would say that our God is dead, who would say their God is more powerful. It's a lie. Jesus Christ said, I have all power in heaven and earth. Beloved, today he still does. And we need not run from that. In my heart, God gives us two extremes and just happen to be in the same family. With Hezekiah, one that truly walked upright. God blessed him. God gave unto him. God even, and knowing that God knows the future, God knew that Hezekiah would call upon him when he had called him to get his house in order. Why did God take him through that? Beloved, so that we could see the heart of God in the 21st century. And that we would not be afraid to stand, knowing that there are days when we don't get it right. God says, hey, I still love you. If you desire to do it right, I am still a righteous God and will use you. Amen. Beloved, our God, there's none like him. Amen. We go to the extreme of Manasseh, who seen from day one being king there in Jerusalem. He did everything his father did not do and didn't do what his father did. And he did that for years until he was captured. Israel was captured by Babylon. And then this man who has a record of evil and abomination repented before God. And not only did God use him, he sent him right back to Jerusalem. Beloved, where he could present the model and the example that his father placed and that those fathers in Judah and in Jerusalem, who had done right, he wanted to line up with them. And God blessed him and gave him that opportunity. Beloved, I pray that we get this tonight. And I don't need to drag that out. In fact, I just want us to get it right here at this point. That we don't have an excuse. We don't have an excuse that we can't serve God. Oh, if you only knew where I came from. Oh, if you only knew my background. Oh, I might have stole at one time. I might have ran away from home at one time. Oh, I might have done this and I've done that. And I would say, so what? What is it that you want to do now? If it's true in your heart that you love God and that you want to serve God, I would say tonight, lay it on the altar. Lay it on the altar. Come to this altar tonight. Again, beloved, this altar is just not for you. I hope we can see through Scripture that God would hear the prayers of his people. And the prayers in this Scripture of his people are usually for someone other than the one that's praying. That people lay out for those in need and those in trouble and will cry as if it was them. And the good news is, when we know to do right and know someone who's not doing right, then I would say, stand in the gap for them. God is saying he's looking for someone to stand in a gap, and then he says, he found none. May it not be so here. May we desire to stand for other people. May we be overcome by prayer requests. Oh, wouldn't it be a great thing to say, God, there are so many to pray for. And you know what? Joshua said, may the sun stand still. Hey, God will still do that today if we desire to do God's work. Beloved, there's always enough time in God's plan to do his work. There's always enough energy. There's always enough of what we need to do God's will. The problem is we're just trying to find people who are willing to do God's will. Beloved, to come to an old-fashioned altar, to come to a church at a time that's not scheduled on the bulletin. Beloved, to fast and pray, to turn off those TV sets, to turn away some of that recreation time, and come together and pray. And when we finish praying, come back and pray. When we finish praying, come back, come back, come back. And God's calling us tonight to come back. Amen. Beloved, why don't we do that? How much time do we have? Beloved, it's short. The Bible tells us it's short. This is the time that we have to get it done. Why don't we do that? Young people, I call out to you today. And I call out to you as an army. Young people, you can stir up this world like no one has ever done before. We just got to determine that I don't have to wait till I have gray hair to do a work for God. Amen. Beloved, it's now. Just talk to Joseph. Just talk to David. Just talk to Daniel. Just talk to Mary. Just talk to Esther. All of these were young people who accept the call to God and a heart for God to deny themselves and not worry about things. God's got it under control. Let me serve God. I pray tonight, young people, that you're not afraid. And I don't believe you are. And again, I can see that spirit here. Beloved, just go forth and you don't have to run out of here and go charge the world. Just charge the throne of God and say, God, here am I. Use me. Don't be afraid of how high the mountain is. Don't be afraid of what you don't have. Our God says he will supply all of our needs. But we just got to believe him. And I want to see in my lifetime, I pray you want to see in your lifetime, where you know what, you know, we talk about the revivals of old. Beloved, I want to talk about what God has done in our lifetime. I want to see God's power. I want to be a part of God's working in our lifetime. And God has shown us how we need to do that. Beloved, walk in truth. Walk with a perfect heart. And may we place all of our heart's desires, all of our energies on the altar of God. And may God come. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father God, Lord, tonight, Lord, there's no question. You came into this church first tonight. And Father, I know, Lord, you desire that your people, Lord, would see and ache, Lord, to do the work of God in our lifetime. Lord, we need not to get our emotions stirred up by watching the news. Lord, we should be stirred up by watching the movement of the Holy Spirit, Lord, by the Word of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you would stir up my soul, stir up our souls, Lord. Father, to leave here and not just go home and go to bed, but Father, to leave here, Lord, with a burden. Leave here, Lord, knowing, Father, that the only people on this earth, Father, will change, Father, the tide. Lord, it's your church, your people. Father, those who will be like Hezekiah and Manasseh, Lord, will desire to see, Lord, that you would use us, Lord, for the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God. I pray, Father, that you would take charge, Lord, of this time of worship. And Father, where we come, Lord, Father, with hearts that are aching, Lord, and with a burden, Lord, asking, Father, that you would do something with us. Lord, I'm not naive, Lord. There's probably someone here, Lord, that said, I've got an aching burden, Lord. I need your presence. Father, I need your comfort. I need your forgiveness. Lord, I pray if that person is here, that person also will come to the altar. But Lord, even more so, Lord, I pray that your people who are prayed up, Lord, your people, Lord, who see you, Lord, who give their heart and soul to you, Lord, will come forth, Lord, and say, Father, in this time, Lord, in this place, Lord, that you would come and make your presence known. Lord, because there are people who are aching that don't know how to touch God, don't know how to reach God. But Father, we do. And Father, I pray you'd meet with us. Father, have your will in your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As